All right, all right, all right. Carnivore Soldier coming at you from Austin, Texas. Today, we've got a special podcast guest, Darlene Mansu from New Jersey, and she's here to talk about how the carnivore diet has affected her and her son, who had ADHD. So let's get her on here and introduce herself, and she can talk about what she's done. Hey, Darlene, how you doing?
Hi, Larry. Thank you so much for having me on.
Sure.
I ended up coming across your podcast, and just a little background about myself. I'm from New Jersey. You're a carnivore retired vet, and that struck a nerve with me because my dad was a former Marine.
Nice. Yeah, never say ex-Marine. There's only a few ex-Marines out there. Yeah. Those are the bad ones.
Yep. He went to Vietnam, so that he did the whole thing through, spent a couple years over there. And in my early 20s, he committed suicide.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
Yeah, so that's definitely impacted me as far as what your mission was. And then last year, I had another friend who, in the Air Force, committed suicide. So it really, I love what you're doing and just really wanted to share how myself and my son's journey of switching to a carnivore diet has impacted us. Because if that could help somebody or inspire somebody and maybe prevent them from deteriorating to the point where they commit suicide, I will talk your ear off about it if that's what I can accomplish. So I'm very passionate about it. And I'm just trying to get that message out there to as many people as possible. So I'll just give you a little short of how the journey started. So I was diagnosed with ADHD in about first grade. The first standard of care, we took him to the doctor and they put him on medication. Mm. And I asked the doctor, I was like, should we do anything dietary? And it was, no, like medicine, this is it. This is what he needs. And I was like, okay. Now my mom's a nurse and God, since the 70s. So I also looked at her and was like, all right, this is the way to go. All right. And so we cycled on and off different medications for 4 years. Now he also he was diagnosed not only with ADHD, but anxiety and dysgraphia. He also has another medical condition. He has severe hemophilia A. So he's a bleeder. Ooh. He's missing a factor 8 in his body. So he gets weekly infusions 3 times a week. And so we had a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
So over the course of 4 years, we cycled on and off different medications to the point where we were on the latest and greatest medication. The insurance wasn't even going to cover it at first. It was going to cost me $500 a month. But we just literally had to give them the paperwork. Hey, we've tried everything. I have bags of stuff we've tried. And we were on that. And it just got to a point where he was still struggling. The mood swings. It was like kind of good at school, but like he was terrible in the morning behaviorally, terrible at night, hard for him to go to sleep at night. And he wasn't eating. Like he was right around 10, 11 years old. And he wasn't gaining any weight for a whole year. And I was like, this kid that's not normal for a 10-year-old to gain zero weight. And it was just a miserable existence, like his behavior issues, the mood swings. And then he started talking about wanting to be dead all the time. I want to die. And I was like, this is not normal.
That's not normal at all.
To talk like that. So I had a friend online who mentioned something about trying this carnivore diet. And I was like, you eat chicken and rice. What are you talking about? You're from Peru.
Yeah.
So he sent me a couple links because a couple of people at his gym had mentioned it and just raved about it. The mental clarity. So I dove into this, I guess you could say, the black hole, listened to tons of podcasts. And what struck me about some of these podcasts about the diet that I was hearing was over and over, what struck me is people that were on, you know, bipolar, schizophrenic, getting off medications.
Yep.
And that's what really struck me at first. And I was like, well, ADHD and the anxiety, and he was on a mood stabilizer as well. And I am, as far as a stimulant medication and a mood stabilizer. And I was like, well, if maybe this can help him get off these medications, what do I have to lose? And so I just decided that we're going to wean him. Literally, we're going to change our diet. So my son was on a mood stabilizer and stimulant medications for the ADHD. And when I decided to switch our diet to a carnivore diet, And we just did it really slow. We did it where I just stopped buying fruits and vegetables and any kind of snack foods, and just really started. I started making my own jerky, and pretty much red meat, you know, the ground beef, chuck roasts, London broil, any beef I could get my hands on that was like reasonably priced. I don't, you know, the cheapest. I'm a single mom, so I'm like, what's the cheapest I can put my hands on? And got rid of the seed oils, and just, I've always been really into butter, so that was not a hard thing for me. But I did have olive oil and vegetable oils, and I was like, nope, those are gone too. So we only have in the house, it's butter, ghee, tallow, lard. If I cook bacon, yep, I'm saving that bacon, lard, and cooking with that. And what struck me was when I started the research was my grandfather was from Yugoslavia originally, had migrated to Germany, and then migrated to this country. And he had a heavy meat diet. Most of it was pork, but like, we used to marvel at the fact that he was outside, did construction all day, never wore sunscreen, never had any like skin issues, didn't have any like cholesterol or heart, like he took no medications up to a certain point. And we all marveled at it because like he would come home from work and pull out a coffee can of lard that he had in the refrigerator and put that lard on a piece of toast, and that would hold him over till dinner time. And he used to do pig roasts and process whole pigs. And it just clicked in my brain that like, maybe there's something to this, right? So we started in February of 2022. By June, when Tyler, my son, finished school, I decided to take him off his ADHD medicine. I was like, we're going to try this without medication. Did it through the summer. The more and more I researched, it just clicked in my brain that all these ADHD medicines are is legalized cocaine and meth. And
yeah, I was like, stimulants. Yeah.
I was like, am I creating a drug addict? That's what I had to ask myself. I was like, what am I doing to my kid? And his mood swings were so crazy that I was like, it just made me think, am I really serving his health in the best way possible? Like not gaining weight, mood swings, not doing well in school. There's got to be a better way. So it was not easy. Like I had so many people my family members who were like, you're hurting him. He's not doing well in school. He's going to get bullied. This is what he needs to be successful. And I was like, but he's not.
Yeah.
And he's all I have. He's my only child. Just feel like, no, we're not doing this. And, you know, really stuck with it, you know, didn't realize that there was a withdrawal, just like any drug addict goes through. You have years of medication in your system. It takes a long, like I would say it took 9 months for him to truly detox and stop with mood swings. And now it's like, he's a different kid. I have my kid back.
Nah, that's awesome.
I mean,
so good.
He's the one who now turns around to me and is like, Mom, breathe.
Yeah.
Like, who are you? You know, every morning when he's getting ready for school, which our mornings were terrible. And I still have to push him a little. He's 11. It's hard to get them moving in the morning. But you know what? He comes up to me, gives me a hug. I love you. Like running out the door. I love you, Mom. I didn't have that 2 years ago. He, you know, was like, you hate me and I have the worst life. And it was nothing but back and forth and just not healthy, like mentally not healthy. And I would say that was like the biggest thing. Like when I decided we were going to go carnivore, I was like, we're going to do this together. I was like, I'm not going to just have him do it. And then I'm going to eat the fruits and vegetables in front of him. That's not going to work.
Right.
And, I would say I was surprised how it affected me mentally. Like the level, like I didn't have that anxiety anymore. Like things just flew off my back, so to speak.
Carnivore Zen. It's called Carnivore Zen.
Totally. I was like, wow. And and I was the type of eater who every meal was what I call well-rounded. I had the vegetable, the protein, and maybe potatoes or some kind of noodle or rice. And I thought, I'm doing the right thing. I'm making all my meals. It's not processed. and
using healthy oils.
Yep.
I know.
The olive oils, the canola oil, like,
oh yeah, healthy. So healthy for you.
So healthy. Then you see how it's made and you're like horrified. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So that was like pretty early. I felt that weight lift off and just, I don't feel stressed about things. I just feel much lighter. And everybody always comments like, that was one of the first things that people like who hadn't seen me, they would see me and they'd be like, what are you doing? Like, you're glowing. And I was like,
yeah,
I changed my diet. I just eat meat.
That's common. I've had friends that are females and are like, people ask them, did they find a new guy or something? Or because are you in love? Or because they're glowing, right? And they use that term.
Yep.
Well, how else are you going to say it? Guys don't glow, all right? We're just in a good mood or a bad mood. Girls glow, you know, when they get happy. And it's funny because you notice it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny when just you get constantly the same reaction from people that you didn't get those reactions from those people before. So you know something has changed.
It's like, authentic. It's not. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. For guys, we get so used to internalizing all our feelings and trying to not show that we're stressed or we're under pressure that I think you don't see it as well when we're not, but we feel it. And this is the suicide thing we're talking about earlier. The burden that was raised off my shoulders physically, everyone sees and comments on.
Yeah.
Mentally and emotionally, no one sees and comments on, but I know it's bigger than the physical change. But everyone's amazed by the physical change. But I'm like, that's nothing. That's why I'm doing this channel for the Mission Carnivore to get other vets, because I've lost too many. I don't want to talk about how many. It's more to suicide than combat. I can tell you that after 21 years. And it's sad. Because those guys didn't have to go. And I have a friend who's a nurse at the VA, and she tells me that the World War II vets and the Korean War vets fared much better later in life than the Vietnam and past. And this is because I think that the introduction of the McGovern Commission of the standard American diet that we have now, which was the low-fat, high-sugar diet that we were given, right? And so once you have that, and you go for a low cholesterol diet too, right? And there are studies that say low cholesterol in your blood serum cause violent and impulsive actions, gambling, mental illness, bipolar, mm-hmm. schizophrenia, a violent suicide. These are all symptoms of people with low.
Kind of addictions, I feel like it ties to it.
Yeah, well, and then the other thing is every addiction known to man, almost exclusively, if you tie it back to low cholesterol, which eating a vegetarian diet does, every addiction known to man is plant-based.
Yeah.
Alcohol, opium, cocaine, nicotine, sugar, all plant-based. And then if you tie it to impulsive behavior, you can tie gambling to that and sexual addictions and pornography. These can be tied to it as well. So once you get your brain right, you're not a slave to all these addictions. That's pretty amazing. That's one thing that happened to me. So I used to drink every night pretty much. I did. And I was self-medicating.
Yep.
You know, now that I'm off, now that I'm carnivore since 260 days or so, I can have a drink and I do occasionally with friends socially, but I don't feel the need to have it all the time. I have no desires. I have a full bar. I can go get a drink whenever I want. I just don't want to.
Yeah, no. I gave up coffee last year. Yeah. I thought that would never happen.
Yeah, right.
I worked in the restaurant business for almost 20 years and it was like, I lived off of coffee and Diet Cokes. It was terrible. The one thing that saved me though, is the restaurants I worked in had a French nouveau cuisine and they used tons of butter sauces and did like the whipped, we had to whip butter to go out to the tables with the bread. So I lived off of like butter and I was like, oh, that's why I stayed healthy, probably. Because I eat butter all night.
That. And especially women, they need that butter. I don't know if you've seen Dr. Bright talking about female hormones and butter. And for sure.
So I think that saved me and kept me like technically body composition wise, like I'm the same weight and size as I was high school.
Wow. That's crazy.
I'm 46 years old. What's the secret? I was like people are like always like, oh, it's genetics. And I'm like, I don't think so.
I can prove it's not, because I was up at 280 and I've been athletic all my life. And now I'm back in the size I was in college.
Yeah.
That just happened. Like Jordan Peterson, same thing. It just happened. And I have not been exercising. I have started exercising. I've implemented sprints and some band conditioning, lifting with bands, because my because I have injuries, so I can't lift with free weights like I used to, which I did all my life. But now I get 4 10-minute workouts a week, so 4 days. Okay. So I do 10 minutes a day 4 times, and then I sprint twice a week. And the sprints I do are like not long. It's like 1 to 6 reps of 5 to 30 second sprints. So they're not long sprints. Yeah. And that's all I do. And that's all you need. And I have amazing results.
I don't work out a ton. Like, I like to get out and go to the gym. It just gets me out of the house. I do like 30 minutes, but it's nothing like I'm not spending hours in the gym. I'm not spending hours on cardio. And it's fairly easy. Like, I just find it, like, when you talk about the addiction stuff, like, I just don't crave like the alcohol or the coffee anymore. Like, I miss, like, when I smell coffee, I'm like, oh, this smells good. But I'm like, I don't want to even have it. It's like, eh. And for me, part of the healing I think I got from it was I had chronic back issues where I was doing acupuncture once a week to keep my back from locking up and being like on a heating pad and not moving for a week. Wow. Because in my early 20s, I was hit by a truck walking across the street.
Wow.
And I ruptured my spleen and I tore my MCL, and then my head violently whipped and actually dented the guy's hood. So I had all this trauma and scar tissue in my neck and back.
Yeah.
And struggled with back issues for years from that. And it's all, but I haven't done acupuncture since 2 months into doing carnivore. Like, I just, my back, it may get a little sore from lifting or being in the gym, but literally I'll do ice for one day and the next day it's gone. I'm like, I'm good.
Yep. That's the same with me. I've got service related injuries that are not going to heal because they're tissue issues, you know, injuries. They're ligaments that are ruptured and destroyed, you know, things like that. So they're not coming back, but they used to hurt all the time and they affected the way I walked, my back, everything got affected by those injuries. And now, like you said, there's no arthritis, there's no pain. I can actually run. So being a soldier, I'm 57. I'm an old guy. So I retired at 53. So I was still active running and gunning with my troops. But my last 2 years in the Army, I could no longer run because the injuries piled up and all the old injuries and all this. And so I haven't run since 2017. So I thought that I would never run again in my life. I just accepted that until this. And now I just felt good one day. I'm like, I wonder if I can run. And I went and did it. And it was like, oh my gosh, I sprinted. I felt like an athlete. Like when I was college, when I was running guys down and tackling them, I'm like, this is amazing. It just, I felt young.
Yeah.
And, it's so cool. I'm sure when you work out, you feel that too, right? You must feel totally different when you work out.
Yeah, it's definitely, I've always been into, I did track and swimming in high school. Nice. My mom was a bodybuilder, so I kind of grew up in a gym.
Cool.
And, you know, she had like a short period of it because then my parents got divorced and then a lot of things changed. But having that atmosphere, it was like, I'm comfortable going into the gym and lifting weights, and I've been around weights, all that kind of stuff since I was a little kid. I feel better now at 46 than I did in my late 20s because the accident that I had where it was miserable. I had years of recovery there that I literally did physical therapy for over a year after that accident because I didn't, luckily, I still have my spleen. They did not have to do surgery on my knee because I had great doctors who were like, this, you're young, you can heal.
Yeah.
Luckily, I was like in the gym. I was athletic then. I was running, doing yoga. So it was kind of like, we're going to give you a chance here. But after that, the recovery, because of all the medications, the pain, they were like, take some Percocets if your back hurts. I wasn't able to walk weight bearing for 3 months. So like my body really atrophied from a year and a half of really not being able to do the things I used to from that accident. And it left me in my 20s, like not living a real good life. Like I said, painkillers, like Advil, like Tylenol, Percocet, you know.
I mean, don't you wonder what it would have been like that recovery if you had been carnivore? Because I'm as carnivore, I heal up faster.
Yeah.
I do injure myself still and I heal quick. And I wonder how much shorter that would have been.
I definitely look back at that and I'm like, wow, how would my life have been different if I had started this way earlier?
I mean, so back to our kids, this is their opportunity, right? And even if they choose to go off it down the road, they may. My son, I didn't force him. I did it myself, and I told him what I was doing, and I introduced him, and I showed him some videos. And like I said, I don't force stuff on my son. I give him information, try to teach him how to make a good decision. And if he makes a bad one, I'll challenge it, and we'll discuss it. And that's kind of the way I do it, because I want to teach him critical thinking. So I'm like, this is why I'm doing this. Here's the facts. Here's seed oils do to you. Here's what this does to you. I know your mom, my ex still thinks that I'm crazy and he needs that balanced meal. So when he's with me, it's 100% carnivore. When he's with her, he's ketovore. Because I'm like, here's what you do, son. You just eat double portions of meat. You pick around at stuff and you don't eat any bread or sugar and you'll be okay. That's fine. So that's kind of what he does. But yeah, so I did it myself and he saw the change in me and he had a foot injury from soccer, right? Because he's an athlete. And he said, Dad, do you think it would heal my foot? And I said, you know, I don't know, son, but it can't hurt. So he's right. Like, well, I want to do it in summer when I'm with you, because he was with me for a month in the summer. So I'm like, all right, we'll go hardcore carnivore for a month. And it was sad because the first day of vacation, I took him to a pool party and they brought pizza in. And he's about to jump in. And I'm like, oh, wait a second, son. I said, you're carnivore now. And he goes, oh, you're right, Dad. I said, you can eat like the top of a pizza or something. He's like, nope, I'm not doing it. I'm like, cool, good deal. And he's really strict on himself, but because of that, he has shaved 2 minutes off his 2 mile run. He's a track guy too and a cross country guy. And he placed in his first race. He's never placed in a race before. He's always finished, but never placed, which is top five, right? And then he's set PRs on every race he's run. And he plays soccer too. And at the end of this season, they had a tournament and he had 3 games to play. He didn't sub out one time. And he said, Dad, I didn't get tired. By the third game, I wasn't tired. I'm like, yeah, you were running fast. That's pretty crazy, right? But that's what we could have been like. And maybe your son, I don't know if he's doing athletics or if he can't because it's medical, but if he does, I think it's amazing what they could do.
Yeah. So it's funny because I really haven't pushed because of his medical condition, the whole sports thing, because it would involve more infusions for him.
Right.
That's and tough. So, you know, I was a little leery about that. And I just, part of me has really struggled with he has an older brother. He has 3 older siblings. They all have the same dad.
Okay.
And his brother did travel hockey. And I just saw mentally what that did to his big brother. Yeah. I mean, his brother played junior hockey in Canada. Like, he was good.
Wow.
But mentally and like physically, some of the things it did to him, it was just like he wasn't having fun with it. I was like, that to me, I feel like your kids, like, you should be having fun with this. So that's part of the struggle for me with some of this organized sports with the kids is like, are they really having fun? Or are we pushing them way too hard to break down their bodies? Like my son, I didn't want to do that. So he actually this year was interested in trying out because he's in middle school for the soccer team.
Okay.
And I was like, we've never played, so it's going to be tough. He supposedly, I want to say they had a week of like tryouts and they did some scrimmaging. And supposedly the one day he like scored twice.
Nice.
For a kid who's never like really played or whatever, just very loosely. It's not like he did okay. No, he didn't make the team, but most of the kids that made it, or actually I don't think any sixth graders made it on the team. So I was like, listen, you can't beat yourself up. You tried. They didn't even take any sixth graders and you've never really played. You got some catch up if you really want to do this. But part of me actually wonders if we've been successful managing in the past 2 years his hemophilia because of him being meat-based.
Yeah, so that's something DC Learning to Live, David Charles from Australia, who I interviewed in the first video of this series, I believe. He had blood cancer twice and his blood got all messed up because he did standard of care twice. Two different rounds of different chemos, radiation. His blood was messed up. Now, I think it's a couple years after his last series where he was stage 4 of cancer twice. And now he's completely cancer-free and his blood's completely normal. And he's lifting in the gym again. He's a fitness guy. He's a health coach that trains people in the gym. I mean, his body looks amazing. He's doing sprints upstairs and carrying the sandballs and doing all the crazy, the deadlifts and stuff. And he's looking great. And I really think that your body can heal from. So we just don't know what your body can heal from. If it's.
That's one of the things I feel like as I've gone through this journey and still every day, I learn something new about it that makes me think like intuitive eating to just how amazing the body is.
I mean, that'd be a good question for me. I'm interviewing, I'm on with Dr. Kiltz coming up, and he's not doctor or anything, but I've asked for people to submit questions. So I can ask him about, you said it's a hemophilia, right?
He has severe hemophilia A. I'm actually, A. He's missing factor 8.
So, I mean, maybe he's got some knowledge of that. I can just ask him, have you ever heard of anyone treating or how hemophilia A can be affected by this diet? Maybe he'll have some answers.
So there's actually, I need to reach out and put myself in contact with another hemophiliac who, his name is Vaughn Ripley. And he supposedly is on a carnivore diet and is wondering the same thing. Can this help? Because the problem with hemophiliacs is they can have spontaneous bleeds. Like they don't even have, it doesn't even have to be trauma related. They can just have a spontaneous brain bleed. You can have a spontaneous joint bleed. And the thing about that's really detrimental for them is if they have a bleed in their joint, you have, say, 100 blood vessels in your knee and you have a bleed in that joint. Now you have 200 blood vessels in your joint. Yeah. So you increase the chances that you're going to have a bleed there. So it's one of those things where the joints are so critical. So that's why the infusions. That's why the sports is like, I'm kind of like, not that they don't do it. The hemophiliacs do participate. They can't do contact sports. So things that were off the table when we got this diagnosis were things like football, hockey, lacrosse, too high. I think there's maybe one or two guys that actually do the hockey thing, but it's like they got to go through a lot more infusions with it. But the wonderment is whether or not this is helping him not have maybe some bleeds or maybe just healing better. And he's able to, have traumas that aren't maybe not as impactful because of this is the way he's eating.
Yeah, that's the thing. We just don't know. Someone probably knows out there. Someone's probably done some research or there's some hemophiliacs that have tried it and that can tell
you
maybe.
It's a really small pool. It only affects, so there's only about 20,000 hemophiliacs in the country, in the U.S. Like it's a really small population.
And so you probably have to go to doctors and see what they say that are carnivore doctors that know, they understand.
That was one of the things I was wary on with telling his specialist, his hematologist, about doing the diet.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
you have to be on board with carnivore first, right? Because then you got to understand.
Yeah. I was like, I'm changing his diet. But they do, he has to go to a specialist once a year and they do a full blood panel. And I literally asked for some extra things. Like, are you guys going to do his cholesterol? Just curious. I will take the total of it. And so far, everything, they haven't called me about anything. So I'm like, no news is good news.
Speaking of cholesterol, have you seen the Dr. Diamond interview where he talks about cholesterol with, I think it was Dr. Baker. Baker did where he talks about there's no upper level cholesterol that's of concern in your blood.
Yes, I literally was like, yes.
It's hard to believe.
And that's the thing is that's probably the biggest criticism I get from people when I tell them,
how's your cholesterol?
You're gonna have a heart attack. And I'm like, I don't think so, but okay. And my stepdad, he had a blockage. He had the Widowmaker.
Oh, wow.
So he had a 99%. So he had stents put in. So he's on all kinds of statins. And I've tried to have the conversation of, like, hey, my mom, who's also a nurse, and I've tried to push her. She's like complaining of like hip pain and stuff. And I'm like, stop eating vegetables, just have some meat. Yeah. But she's definitely been into that standard American diet. Not that she cooks real whole foods, like she has her own garden. She's definitely not one of those processed food people. She makes everything from scratch. But I said to her, because she said something to me the one day, and she was like, some kind of dessert she was making. Or maybe we were talking about bread or something. And she said, I made it myself. And I said, but the flour is processed, right?
Seed oils you put in there too, probably. Not butter.
So it was one of those moments where I was like, think about it. Like, that's processed. And she paused and was like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, yeah. And hearing people talk about when you have that term carb addiction, and how they've done MRI studies that when you eat wheat, it's the same like chemical reaction in your brain as if you were taking heroin. I was like, That struck me when I heard that. Yeah. I think it was on one of Sean Baker's podcasts.
Dopamine. Yeah.
That really hit me where I was like, oh, that now this makes sense.
There's another good cholesterol one from Dr. Zoe Harcombe. Have you heard of her?
I don't know if I have.
Zoe Harcombe. Zoe Harcombe. She is fantastic. UK research doctor. And she researched she did a meta study of all the cholesterol out there and did her PhD on it. Okay. And she does this awesome debunking. It's like when you watch it, if you share that video, it dispels cholesterol and fiber. And
I may have listened to a podcast. Now that I wrote it down, I'm like, I may have listened to a podcast with her on it.
The doctor that interviewed her on that was Thiago Lucivargi. He's an MD resident. So he's not an MD right now. He's in his residency, but he's in Canada, and he's a podcaster, and he interviewed her, and that I'll send you a copy of that video too, because these two videos that we already saw, the Dr. Diamond one, that was great. Yeah. But this one, she talks about the difference between LDL and HDL. She gets in discussion with the doctors, and doctors are like, your cholesterol is high. And she's like, okay, so tell me what the problem with that is. And he's like, your LDL and your HDL. She goes, now you're not talking about cholesterol. You're talking about nanolipids. Are we talking about cholesterol or nanolipids? Because LDL and HDL have the same exact molecules. Molecular change, there's no change, no difference. What the difference is what they're doing as a job right now. And I didn't know this, but like LDL, I think, is bringing new parts to the cells, and HDL is bringing the damaged parts back to the liver. So it's really like this cycle of things that are happening.
Yeah.
And everything has a natural process. So it's really interesting when they get into the details of, you can correct people like, don't worry about cholesterol, because cholesterol is not a problem. If you worry about HDL and LDL, that's nanolipids. That's a different discussion.
Yeah.
And then she can shoot that down too, because she knows all this stuff. It's pretty amazing. She's so brilliant and fun to watch. So she was actually in a couple documentaries too, Fat Fiction and a documentary. And I don't know if you've seen those yet, but those are fantastic documentaries to share with your family. Because yeah. They're not carnivore.
Right.
But they show the problems. What they are is pro-healthy fat and anti-plant fat and plant diet.
Yeah. Yeah. So I definitely, it's one of those things. I was listening to Sean Baker the other day on a podcast, and I liked his approach to it. Was that like his philosophy of, like, he was stating that I don't believe like carnivore is for everybody, but I think it can help a lot of people heal.
Yeah. Keto is definitely for everybody. I think keto is for everybody. I mean, it's fair to say that a ketogenic diet is the proper human diet. And carnivore is the most strict version of that.
Correct. Which,
you know, and lion is the most strict. So I think for sure you can say that a ketovore diet is probably the proper diet
right.
for everybody.
And then I think you have to take some of it into account of, I think, heritagely or like ancestrally, like where are you from? Right. My ancestors were all European, so Germany, Hungary, yep. Yugoslavia, and the predominant diet through those regions was heavy pork. There was wild boar and pigs and potatoes. I mean, those were two really big things. And then it was a seasonal thing. Like, my mom tells stories of going out into the forest when she was growing up in Germany and picking wild mushrooms. And they would, right. they would do it sustainably. She said, you know, that was one of the most disappointing things when she returned to Germany in her teens. She's like, the mushrooms in the forest were totally depleted. She's like, when we picked mushrooms growing up, she's like, we knew to leave. We wouldn't pick them all. We would leave so that we knew we could come back and they would replenish themselves. So I think we've lost that sustainability around our food from farming, as far as like meat.
You'll see from Zoe, she's big into that too, into sustainability, because we're losing topsoil because we're not rotating crops and having ruminant animals eat. So there's supposed to be a 3-year rotation, one year of crops, 1 year of rest, and 1 year of grazing and pooping on by the ruminant animals. And that's what gives you topsoil. Topsoil is poop from these animals. And if you don't do that, you lose topsoil so there's experts that are saying we have between 9 and 90, depending where you're at, between 9 and 90 crops left.
Yeah.
So between 10 and 90 years. And then we're going to be out of topsoil. It's going to be destroyed. Unless we had 130 million buffalo in America before we got here. And that they were doing, they were making our topsoil.
Yes.
Literally. But yeah. And then here's an interesting fact about potatoes. So yeah, Germans were eating it, but ancestrally, potatoes didn't come over until we found the New World. There were no potatoes in Europe. I thought they were native, right? I thought, because I heard about the Irish potato famine and everything, and Germans always have potatoes. I thought, oh, they must be native. No, they came over from the South America. So that happened after Christopher Columbus obviously found the New World.
Right.
So they're pretty recent in our diet. Right. If you look at tens of millions of years versus 1,000 years, or not even, maybe a couple thousand years, right? Or not even that. It's still new to our diet. So I think that's probably one of the reasons. Now, if you were from South America and you eat them, you probably handle them better.
Right.
Then you would, like you said, or if you're from Finland, you probably handle fish really well. And the red meat would be like the goats and the caribou or whatever they have there. So it just depends. Like you said, where your ancestors came from too does make a difference, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's very interesting. Like I said, I learn something new every day about it. And I just try to keep in check as far as trying to teach my son. When you say you don't want to force your kid to do something, but for his health, I felt like I had to.
Yeah, you have to for that. That makes difference.
A place of mental wellness for his sake. But I do try to approach certain things where I allow him, like if he goes to a party and he wants to have, and then if he complains about something later, I reflect back of, like, what did you eat earlier?
Yeah. That's good. That's what I would do too. So for Halloween, I didn't tell my son he couldn't have candy. I would never do that, right? I told him that sugar's bad for you. It's a poison, and he knows that. So I asked him after the fact, because he had Halloween at his mother's house, not mine. I said, so how's Halloween, man? What'd you do? And he says, well, I went trick-or-treating, and I gave all my candy to my classmates. And I'm thinking, okay, that's a good decision, but man, you're poisoning all your friends. But okay, they're going to get it anyway. It's kind of, I'm mixed on that, but you know, I'm not going to be, and I didn't hand out any candy. I handed out glow stick bracelets, and I saved money. They were actually cheaper. You can buy them in bulk at Walmart. And all the parents loved them because they make the kids easier to see. And the kids loved them. No one was complaining that, oh, I got a glow stick bracelet.
You know, and my son actually, it's funny because I let him go out. I let him do the whole candy thing.
Yeah.
I gave him the advice of the fact that, like, anything that has like colors in it, trade that away. If you're going to have something, I'd rather have something that's chocolate, just no food, like food dyes in it.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I thought was interesting is he was really excited that somebody gave out Pokemon cards. He's like, Mom, that's such cool. A better idea. We should just get out like little packs of Pokemon cards. And I was like, that's not a bad idea. You know, like the kids are into it. That would be something I'd be on board with. So he gets it to some degree. There are still days where he complains about it. He just wants to be a normal kid.
I get it.
You know, he goes to school. He sees all these kids with all their like crappy snacks and, you know, crappy food. And I'm like, yeah, okay. But I remind him that, you know, in school, grade-wise, for the past couple of years, he just shifted this year in sixth grade where they're doing a grading system like A's, B's. Last year, it was a number system. It was 4, 3, 2, 1, 4 being the highest.
Okay.
And he was getting, for the past 2 years, 1s and 2s. Like, they were passing him because he was attempting the work, but he really wasn't doing the work.
He was struggling.
Oh, yeah. He's, because of the ADHD, he does have an IEP and they make certain modifications and he's in a smaller class. But this year, starting school, it's been night and day. He's gotten 4 A's, the first mark of it, 4 A's, a B plus, and a C plus. I'm like, I literally thought I would never see an A on this kid's report card. That's how not good things were with school. His teacher gives me feedback that he finishes projects and wants more.
Yeah, like, he's enjoying school. What a concept, right?
Right. I mean, like, that was not him for the past 4 or 5 years. He hated school, didn't want anything to do with it. And now he's like excited about school, the learning. And like we were actually driving from the post office and we passed, there's a strip mall, maybe. And he's like, Mom, can we go to Barnes and Noble? And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, I want to pick out what books I want for Christmas.
Oh, nice. That's good. Yeah.
So
reading books. That's great.
Yeah.
Good.
I'll take it. I'll take the win on that.
Yeah. I think that my son, the reason he is totally on board, like, because he went the whole summer and a whole soccer season and a whole cross country season and saw the difference, improvement, setting a PR every race. You cannot deny. And then feeling great, right? The whole time. He couldn't deny that it was amazing results. So he's like, Dad, this is amazing. He tells me, he's like, this is amazing. So he's on board and he's not going to sacrifice that. Like, his mom sends snacks in his lunch, like those bars that I used to think were healthy, the snack bars. And he gives them to his friends. He's like, I don't eat those. I'm like, good. I send him cheese sticks. So when I make him lunch, like, I'll get a meatball. I make my own meatball with my recipes on my channel. And I dice it up after I cook it and throw it in there in his tray. And then he'll eat meatballs. I'll put some bacon in there with him, some cheese, cheese wisps, because they're 100% cheese, or some cheese cubes, and either a meat stick or a cheese stick. And that's all he needs, and water. Yeah. And he's great. And he doesn't really get sick of it. And I do make him shrimp and stuff. So like tonight, today I made a shrimp. And I just get bacon fat and fry up the shrimp in there. And he just goes to town on that, you know. It's healthy.
I did that last night. I did shrimp and scallops. I did a cold smoked salmon, and I just diced the salmon up and I just tossed that in with butter.
Nice.
And some heavy cream. That was it.
Yep. And so easy, right?
Super easy. How
much garbage do you guys generate now compared to before?
Oh my God. I know, tiny.
I know, right? I hate taking the garbage out. Now it's like I have to remember to, because it never fills up.
I actually, in my place, I actually have like a tiny size garbage. It's only about this big in my kitchen. It's like something you would see in the bathroom, because if I had a bigger one, it was smelly.
It goes bad. Yeah. Oh. That's why I have to take mine out. I take it out at least once a week, but it's not full. It just starts stinking, or it's been too long. It's like eggshells going in there. It'll stink.
Yeah. So we literally have a small garbage, and the waste is so minimal now.
Right.
That, you know, it's great that we don't throw a lot away. We don't waste a lot.
Nope.
Anything that I can compost, which mostly is like the eggshells, that goes to my mom's compost.
Nice.
But there's just, we don't do any of those like crappy snacks anymore. Like I got like a meat stick subscription from Paleo Valley, and that goes in my son's lunch. And I would say there's been days where I could just, when we first started this, that I switched to literally for breakfast. I'm like, do you want eggs or do you want a steak?
Yeah.
And the days that he had a steak, I mean, he was like good. Like his mindset and just like behavior was good.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of like the biggest change, is that his behavior and his mindset. I mean, there's still days where he gets frustrated about certain things. Mm-hmm. He's starting to get into those teen years. And grow.
But I have a 14-year-old. Yeah, I get it.
He notices the difference. Like he's not involved in sports, but he rides his bike most of the time to school on a daily basis. But he's like, I got some guns. And I'm like, and where do you think that's coming from? Like, you are what you eat, kid. So he's starting to recognize some of the things
this diet's anabolic. I put on muscle so fast now. I feel like I'm on steroids. I do. And it's crazy, because I'm not even eating. I used to have a whole regimen. I was working out, like all these pills and protein powders and all these things I had to take. And now I'm just eating meat, and it just comes on, and my energy level and my muscles. The guns are coming back. Everything, I not only lost fat, but I gained muscle and bone density. I can tell my body weight like leveled off, because I just started hardening. Like it's crazy. I'm 57, right? I'm like, this is crazy.
How many medications do you take? None.
Yeah. Basically all I take now, not even allergy pills. I used to take allergy pills religiously. Now, no allergy pills.
I used to call myself the Sudafed queen.
Yeah.
And I used to thank God I did trade shows and traveled, because I used to buy so much Sudafed. I was like, if I bought all of this in New Jersey, they think I'd be cooking meth. Like, how much Sudafed I have. Nothing. Zero medications. I can't remember the last time I took a Tylenol or an Advil. And I used to religiously take those things because of my back pain.
Yeah, I do take Advil occasionally, but I'm working out again. So if my ankle flares up because I did sprints, I'll take some Advil and I put some ice on it and do an elevation. And I'm good.
But drink coffee.
What's that? Oh, yeah. So I have reintroduced coffee, and that's probably why. Because I did
coffee.
I removed coffee for a while, and that took care of, and I just reintroduced it. Maybe I'll kick it. I don't love coffee. It's just a habit. But you know what I drank when I got off coffee? I still like my hot drinks, so I would get bone broth.
Yep.
And absolutely. I'll get beef bone broth, and I'd put butter. And the secret is I put Redmond smoked salt in there, okay. A quarter teaspoon. And it gives it a little bit of bitterness and smoky. And it's almost not, it's not coffee-ish, but it gives you a little bit of that. You got a little flavor to it, a little handle to it, right? Yeah. I mean, so I like that. I put butter in there, and yeah, that's a great drink. So I might switch back to that while I'm doing these sprints.
I gave up the coffee because I was just reading in so many of the Facebook carnivore groups that people were having a lot of success as far as not being sore.
Yeah.
With giving working up out. The coffee, working yeah. out. So I was like, let me give this a shot. And I feel great. Like, I don't feel fatigued. And I go to the gym, I work out, and I don't have that soreness that would
yeah.
literally go for days after working out hard or upping my weights. And that's enough for me that I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I don't need it.
I have less soreness than I did when I was a standard American diet, much less. I'm probably about like only at 10% the soreness that I get. But every now and then my ankle will flare up, and I have just reinstated sprinting and doing these lifts on a regular basis. So I think I might kick coffee off for a month or two and see what it does. Because it's easy to do for me. I can just not do it, right? It's no big deal.
Yeah, no, it definitely. And since it's gotten cold, I don't know how it is down where you're at, but it's
Texas. It's 40s.
Yeah, it's chilly here
night,
too.
At night.
Yep. So I've definitely switched to drinking more hot fluids. And I do the bone broth. Like every day I have bone broth. I feel like it's a multivitamin.
Great. Yep, it is. It's a superfood. I mean, that's funny. They throw superfood around about so many things that aren't. But what's real superfood is egg yolks, butter, bone broth. Those are real superfoods, right? For human beings.
People that think spinach. I mean, I used to think spinach and kale, like the greens.
Brussels sprouts.
I hear Anthony Chaffee go, oh my God, like Brussels sprouts have how many carcinogens in them? I'm like, okay, not going to have Brussels sprouts anymore. Like,
right. Okay. And I just turn people, I point them to the World Health Organization because that's the page that says all the carcinogens in there. It's like, don't you prescribe to the World Health Organization? Well, look, that's what they say. Here it is. Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, I don't know. My carnivore journey has been miraculous. It's only been since March 22nd. Mm-hmm. So I'm well into it. And my experience is after 100 days, it gets so easy just to keep going. It just becomes
the food new freedom normal. Is amazing, right?
Yeah, the relationship with food has changed so much. Now, you're single, right? I'm single. So dating has been challenging for me because I just tell you what, I for one thing, I sit down and I try, you know, I'm not going to be pushing this. I'm not going to push it on my son. I'm definitely not going to push it on a date. But people will defend certain things, religion, politics, and diet. Are right up there with, they'll die on their hill defending.
I think honestly, it's been easier from my standpoint of dating and being like, just so you know, I only eat meat. And they're like, really? They're
yeah, like, that's, they think that's
they
cool.
They
look
at me like, what? And then I tell them all about it. And like the one guy I dated, he went full carnivore, dropped tons of weight. I mean, he looks great now. And all because like I pretty much came in and was like, gave him all this research. I bought him books. I bought him like Sean Baker's book, Anthony Chaffee's book.
What a
like,
great girlfriend.
I know.
I need to find someone like you.
You're a little far away.
Yeah, I know.
But no. So, I mean, like most of the guys I've ended up like have been pretty receptive. But I do. You know what's funny? I don't want to say there might be some political lines there, but I feel like there might be some political lines to it.
I think it's, because certain... So it's the whole critical thinking and open-mindedness. Basically, this is our Copernicus moment. This is our Galileo moment. When Copernicus and Galileo, well, Copernicus first came up with a theory that the sun was the center and the earth was rotating around it and the earth was not the center of the universe. And then Galileo confirmed it. And they both got persecuted and did jail time and went to court and because they were going against the system.
Yep.
And everyone... We're like, why are you causing trouble? You know, like just go along with the system. And that's what I think the people that go along with the system are more of one side politically. And the people that want to buck the system are more the other. And I don't even say Republican, Democrat, because I'm not either of those. I'm much more outside of that. I am an independent, free thinking person who doesn't have to identify with some party. I think they're after being in the military as long as I was and seeing the different parties take power and still seeing drone strikes going on and still seeing General Dynamics and Martin Marietta making obscene money That's what it was all about. And I'm like, listen, I don't care. Those parties are both opposite sides of the same coin. You flip it, you get one, same result. And I want something completely different. So same with our diet, right? And you can look back. I was disillusioned with the military after my time in the military. And then after finding this, I became disillusioned with everything. Because I can see it. It's basically pharmaceutical. Everything.
Follow the money.
Yeah, follow the money. That's all you got to do. And if people don't want that, though, a lot of them, a lot of people on both sides, they just don't want to do, they don't want to believe that. They don't want to follow it.
They're so suspect. They're so impassioned. I mean, to hear people talk that what's killing the environment is some cow farts. I'm like,
yeah, it's ridiculous.
Think about it. The cow doesn't need electricity. It literally could live out in a pasture kind of by itself and eat some grass. Like, how is that? Like, this country, before it was settled, how many thousands, hundreds of thousands buffalo roamed this land?
130 million.
Like, millions.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like cows are like really close to that buffalo, like same
they
type
are.
Of ruminant animal, right?
They are.
And,
yeah.
And you think the cows are the problem, but you want people to eat something that was created in a factory that the environmental footprint of that factory, nobody wants to talk about.
Right. Oh, and listen, seed oil. I worked in refineries. I did wireless network design for refineries for 15 years. And I've been in a lot of different refineries, and none of them are clean. None of them are environmentally sound. They are terrible places to be. Now, we need them. I'm not saying we don't. We need plastic. We need fuel. We need everything that those things make.
Correct.
But what we don't need is seed oils. Absolutely not. 100%. We don't need that. That's like, that's something we could totally live without, right? So I don't understand where the, if you want to save the environment, let's take out the ones that are least necessary first. Let's just dump those. And you can shut down all those refineries.
It's just one of those things that now I see it as follow the money. There's an agenda. There's an agenda behind it. Why they're pushing this, why they're pushing that. Somebody's got some deep pockets and somebody's filling it.
That's what I tell my son now whenever he sees something that's weird. I'm like, who's making money on this? Think about it. How's it work? And I just try to, like I said, let him make those kinds of decisions. So it's good. But like I said, we are in our Copernicus moment where we're going to have to hold the line and keep growing this groundswell of popular people on YouTube sharing these stories, like your son's story. Think about if people found out that through diet, just ADHD, not any other stuff that's wrong with him. Just ADHD. Yeah. How many kids, how many hundreds of thousands, if not millions of kids are on ADHD drugs?
There was a shortage during COVID of getting the medications. I used to have to go to different pharmacies because his script would be at this pharmacy and be like, we can't get it. And I'm like, well, I'm supposed to have it. What do you mean? And I have to have them send the script. It was like a rat race to find a pharmacy that would have some of the medicines. And it's funny because I'm in some of those Facebook groups for ADHD. And whenever I put it out there, like some people like it. And then other people are like, you're crazy. Like what? And I'm like, I'm just telling you, if you want to try something different, just saying.
Yeah.
Like here's another way.
And that's the thing. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him think.
No.
Right. And that's the thing. So you got to give them the information. That's what I do too. I just share it out there. And I'm like, listen, I don't know if it's for you or not. I just know that you're a Homo sapien and I know how we're made. And I know how my body, and not just my body, but I know how a lot of people's bodies react to the proper human diet. And when you look at the proper human diet, you can look at anthropologists. It was Dr. Ken Berry who interviewed this anthropologist talking about the proper human diet. Evidence is called Evidence for the Proper Human Diet. If you Google that with Dr. Berry, you'll find it. But this anthropologist talks about knowing that you can tell what these skeletons, what they ate based on their teeth.
Yeah.
And also based on their bones, because if they were a carnivorous community where they ate meat and they were hunter-gatherers and they primarily lived on meat, then once they get to adult, they can't tell how old the adult was when they died, because the bones don't have any indication. There's no tooth decay. There's no arthritis. The bones are just an adult or juvenile. That's all they can tell. If they've been eating, like they looked at people in Egypt, the Egyptians, where they ate a lot of bread, they could tell they ate bread because their teeth were ground down. They had tons of tooth decay. They had arthritis. They can tell how old they were. Well, this guy was in his 40s, or this guy was in his 60s, or this guy was in his 20s because he didn't have this problem, right? So it's so amazing that when you're on the right diet, you don't have any signs in your bones of abuse, basically, or of it's actually chronic exposure to toxins.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that part of it's really gives you something to think about. And that stuff is just not taught. And you start to realize, starting this journey, that your doctors are really just taught how to prescribe medication
by the pharmacy companies.
That's it. They're not. And I found this in my own, like, years ago. I remember I went to a doctor and I was having issues with eczema. For years, I had issues with eczema. And I remember I went into the doctor. It was a new doctor because I had moved from Delaware back to New Jersey. And I brought the tube. I was like, hey, I'm having a flare up. And this is what I've been treating with for the past 10 years. It works really great.
Yeah.
She fluffed me off and was like, well, I don't know anything about that. I'm going to write you this script for this other stuff. And I was like, what? You're going to give me something that I've never used before?
Yeah.
And
why?
When I've been using something that's effective. And it really, like, that really made me pause and go, but wait a minute. There's this big book that you can look up all the medications in and find out, but you want me to take this one medicine that you're writing a script on? It just made me put two and two together really.
Follow the money. Yeah, follow the money. She's getting bonuses. They're getting paid directly by these guys too. And then when you find out that our medical system and our dietary guidelines are from a religious sect, Seventh-day Adventist, a religious cult, and they're actually still training many of the doctors. They're training basically everyone that this is the way. And then they're made up by the grain companies, right? The cereal companies, Kellogg and Graham, which is, I forget who they are now, but Graham crackers, you know, and Kellogg cereals. Those are all to make guys not be lustful, because apparently meat makes us lust. Oh, well, I mean,
it's,
you know, that's the way it is. They wanted to make us not masturbate by giving us grains. Well, and I guess it works, because look at soy boys. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
I can't. You know, they are pretty freaking tame.
I mean, I think it's starting to kind of come out a little bit more right now. I don't know if you're seeing it, but this whole gender thing, is it because of the American diet that we have?
Sure. Beyond the mental illness, it's the hormonal imbalances.
Right.
All across. Yeah.
You know,
prominent males.
I remember, and so the funny thing is, when I graduated high school and I was going to community college, I worked at a restaurant. And for whatever reason, starting to work in a restaurant and seeing them process the meats when they came in, it kind of just grossed me out. I don't know what happened, but I was like, I stopped eating meat. I went vegetarian for 2 years. I thought my opa was going to disown me. My grandfather, who did all the pig roasts, and was like, you're not eating meat? What's wrong with you? Yeah. And I was like, yeah, it's just, I can't. And I did the whole, I thought I was doing better for myself. I was like, oh, I'm going to be healthier. And I did all this research, went to the health, got all these supplements, a health food store. And I remember reading an article in one of the newsletters, and it was an article about, there was an uptick in breast cancer in men who started drinking soy milk. And it made me pause and go, if it's doing that to guys, what's it doing to women?
Yeah.
And I was like, I swore off. I had started drinking soy milk because I was like, this is healthy. This is what I should be drinking.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, never again, put the soy down. And literally it was like, I was almost 2 years where I did the vegetarian thing. And it was just like, all of a sudden, I just was like, I need to eat meat again. I just listened to my body. And I was like, I started craving it again. And start eating meat again. And I don't know what happened, but that was a small, thankfully, a very small phase in my life that I did not stick with. But so I understand where some of these vegetarians come from, that, oh, it's the greatest. And I'm like, any elimination diet of processed foods is going to make you feel good, probably.
That's the thing. If you cut that out, and they'd probably feel even more amazing if they cut out seed oils and did vegetarian, or you're doing whole foods. It is survival food in my book. You can like the potatoes. That's why the Irish had them. Think about it. If you think about the aristocracy in Europe, they didn't allow commoners to hunt their deer. You got caught poaching a king's deer, you're going to get hung, right? But you could eat potatoes all day long because people that eat potatoes are easier to manage, right? They're a little sick. They're a little sick. They're not the sharpest people, not the sharpest tools, and they're not going to rise up because they don't have strong opinions. So I think they're just easier to control. And I think this has been known for thousands of years. Even the Egyptians, the pharaohs didn't eat bread like that. They were eating all the meat, right? They had all, and the Caesar, they ate meat, and the peasants ate bread, right?
Yeah.
Even in Rome, the peasants ate bread. They gave the bread to them. And grains, and the rich people ate meat. They ate all kinds of exotic meats. So,
And if you actually study war, infantry, military, like campaigns, like I've heard references of, I want to say, what is it? Like the Huns, that they just ate, they lived off of the horse meat.
They ate the horses. Yes.
They
drank the blood.
They were a force to be reckoned with. I think, what is it? Napoleon's troops, maybe, that a lot of those guys were older. Like,
yeah, oh yeah.
40s, 50s, 60s, like generals in their 70s. And
same
they
with
were
the
like,
Romans. The Romans had soldiers that were in their 60s and they ate meat. And the Napoleon, I think I was talking to Dr. Chafee, and he said that they like boiled cows down to like liquid, took all the bones out and then poured it in cans and canned them. And they'd bring these and eat them. They didn't require any refrigeration, just canned meat and full of fat and meat. And all it was just fat and beef protein, and that's all they lived on. And then in, I don't know if you tried pemmican or carnivore bar yet, but
I'm not.
It's an acquired taste, but it's tallow and beef chips.
Yeah.
And this is what the American Indians ate, especially in the plains where that there's no fruit, Wyoming plains naturally too. Not like these guys are eating this. And then in the War of 1812, the British Army fed their army on pemmican.
Yeah.
So,
I've been wanting to actually try to make my own because I'm definitely one of those who like, I'm going to make that myself. I do my own beef jerky.
Yeah. You got a dehydrator. I got a dehydrator.
I snagged one of my mother's like dehydrator stacks and she keeps hers for her vegetables. Mine just has meat in it all the time.
Yeah.
I started doing my own cold smoked salmon because all the smoked salmon in the store, it's all farm raised.
And yeah, that's terrible.
This is garbage. And I was like, how do I do this myself? And I was like, it's so easy. I was like, why not? But so I'm more into doing it, making it myself. For convenience, I do some beef sticks. And I've had it on my list to try the carnivore bars because, I hear them talk about it. And what's the other one, the puck one?
Carnivore crisps?
No, it's not the carnivore crisps. There's this like puck one.
Oh, a puck. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like a disc thing. And I think it's like a pemmican type.
If you actually Google pemmican, you can find pemmican cheaper too. Actually made by people online that are offering it. So you can buy much cheaper than carnivore bars, but they're not individually wrapped. They come, but they don't require refrigeration or anything. So you just cut off a piece, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to try some of those. They're grass-fed, grass-finished, organic pemmican.
Yeah, that's one thing that I'd be interested in really seeing some data on eventually, maybe.
Grass-fed, grass-finished.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole debate of whether what they're eating, as far as like you hear people put out that, all the beef is so injected with hormones, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, is it?
Yeah, I catch hell for that because I put out, I don't know if you saw my carnivore on $40 a week video I put out, but I went to Walmart and I was like, okay, if I had to survive and I made X amount, and I had less than 200 a month to eat on, could I do it? And I did a BBB&E with cheap butter. It's still pure butter, though, 100% salted butter. Cheap ground beef. And it was Walmart beef, the 10-pound tubes.
Yep.
Cheap eggs. And they're not great eggs. They're the cheapo eggs. But everything was cheap. But I got everything. Salt. So we did BBB and cheap bacon. And people are like, oh, there's sugar in the bacon. I'm like, yeah, don't worry about it. I did that. I've been eating bacon with sugar in it the whole time. And I've lost 56 pounds and feel amazing. So if you're at that point, you're like getting your doctorate in carnivore. You're not just starting out. You're like dialing stuff in to the minute point where you're like, I'm going to try this and see what happens to my body, right?
Yeah. But it's definitely one of those things where that's one of the biggest pushbacks I get is when I decided to do this and I was telling my sister about it, she was like, oh, I can't afford that.
Right.
And
that's why I did that video.
Can you? I was like, can you? Because I tell people like what I spend on a weekly basis on groceries just for me and my son. And they're like, how? I said, because I plan my meals. And I bargain shop. I shop at Aldi's. They have some decent prices on things like meats and dairy. If you're looking for a good value, like Aldi's, for their meat selection, they have pasture-raised eggs.
And you don't dine out. You're not getting the snacks at the gas station. All that stuff I used to do. I don't do any of that stuff. Yeah, and I can tell you, I've had people comment on that video. That video became huge. I published it right before Thanksgiving, and it's already got 30-something thousand views. It was crazy. It became my number one video instantly. That's I've had people log in and say how terrible I am because I'm not telling them to eat grass-fed butter or all this stuff. I'm like, whatever. I don't care. I said, if money cannot be a barrier to this. You cannot. Yeah. And I've had other people come in and say, man, I'm a senior. I'm on a fixed income. You've shown me I can do this. I'm so encouraged. I'm like, man, I don't care about all the negative comments. When I get one comment like that, I'm like, that's awesome. Because I've had more than one. I've had a lot of comments like that. People say, thanks for, because I put a spreadsheet in it too. And I lay out the dollars. I'm like, here it is, man. This is your, and I put calories. And I had people come after about calories too. You shouldn't count calories. I'm like, listen, I put calories on it because brand new people coming in are used to calories. And this is what they understand. And if you tell them 2,000 calories a day, they get it. I'm not, you can't go to people and expect them to, I don't understand. There's so much dogma in this. People expect people to like be pure carnivore right from day one and not deviate. And then you have people that are like, oh, I can just cheat and eat syrup and sugar and still be carnivore. It's like there's crazy sides on this. And then there's me in the middle just saying, we can do sensible carnivore. We can learn as we go and we can make it affordable. We don't have to. I appreciate that. I don't eat any grass-fed beef. Really, I don't.
Yeah.
I just eat beef that I get from Costco. Hey, oh, well.
It's definitely one of the, I look for sales on stuff. My local shop right last week, for whatever reason, they had a bunch of stuff in their special section, manager special, that they had marked down, and it was a bunch of grass-fed stir fry. I was like, all right, whatever. I picked up a ton of that, and for a pound, it was $4.99. I was like, that's great. Like, I put that right in my freezer. So for me, I don't know. That debate is still, I don't know. I don't really think you need to be a purist about the grass-fed.
I'm not saying that it's not better. It probably is. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying it's not necessary to be. You don't need to let perfection to be the enemy of excellence. You can have excellence in your life just doing regular. And I buy grass-fed butter because they have it easily at Costco in bulk. And I do add that to everything I eat. So I do have grass-fed omega-3s coming in there, right? And butter's really great. It's stocked full of that. Now, one thing you said about the fish, farm-raised fish is probably the worst fish you can ever eat because, because you're trying to get your omega-3s up on your fish, right? Well, omega-3 comes from fish eating smaller fish who eat smaller fish. But if they're farm-raised, they're fish eating corn. So they're not getting any omega-3. So you're getting a worthless piece of meat is what you're getting.
Especially when it's salmon, they're giving it dyes to make it like, they're giving it something to make it look that orange color. Because I naturally get that from eating things like krill and shrimps. They're not getting that in the farm-raised part. So it's one of those things that it tastes so, like farm-raised salmon tastes so good, but it's so not good for you. Like it's so bad. No. Yeah. So it's definitely one of those things like I want wild-caught stuff. That's what I look for. But most, that's like a treat. Like we don't have a ton of seafood. Maybe once a month we do sushi because my son likes sushi. It's like the treat for him.
My son loves sushi too. We haven't done it in a while, but he does love it.
Yes, we do that once a month. But like I said, typically it's all, and that's it. I feel like you can find like deals out there, like Chuck's steak.
Oh, yeah. Pot roast. I do pot roast all the time.
My Chuck's steaks, I'm getting my bones for my bone broth and I'm getting like a nice fatty cut of meat.
Yeah.
Perfect. At a reasonable price. You don't have to go for the ribeyes that are $14.99, $19, whatever a pound.
I went crazy on the ribeyes when I first started because I was like, well, I'm just going to do the ribeyes. And I love them. I still love ribeyes. But now I might eat one or two a week and I'm almost all ground beef with butter and very little dairy, very little, maybe some cheese on it. Today I had some cheese on it, occasional eggs, but I can just eat ground beef all day and I'm good. I don't know why. Something, my relationship with food has changed so much that my hunger signals have changed. My desire to eat different foods has changed. My tastes have changed.
Yeah, I would have considered myself a big foodie because of all I worked in fine dining restaurants for so many years that I learned how to make all those fancy butter sauces. They used to joke with me when I worked in the restaurant because I was like, I would taste stuff and they'd be like, okay, chef. And I'd be like, who made the soup today? Because there's no salt in it. And I got to a point where I used to be able to jump on the cold side and make salads and desserts when they got slammed. And it's just one of those things where I've had an appreciation for all this like tasty foods. And now it's like, I don't need it. I'm good.
I know. We used to go to Disney World every year and I would plan out every restaurant. I have reservations at every restaurant before we went. Steakhouses, whatever. All these different. It was like that was part of the experience. Yeah. And this year we're going, and we're not going to Disney World. We're not servicing that business right now. So we're going to Universal Studios.
Okay.
And staying at the Marriott because I got Marriott points still from when I did all my travel. And and we're going to bring a air fryer. And when I get there, I'm just going to go to the grocery store and the Costco and buy some frozen patties. We'll eat burgers. And that's going to be the cheapest trip I've ever done to an amusement park for a week, Florida, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, there's definitely, I've changed where if we're going anywhere, I make sure I pack my steaks and pack or cook up some, one of my favorite things is just to cook a big chuck roast and so easy falls apart and I just that for a couple of days.
But I know. I have some now. That's what we're going to have tonight for dinner is my leftover chuck roast. Because I freeze half of it because I make so much. Yeah. I can't eat it all. And then I freeze half and I just thawed it out. So we're going to have that tonight. Yeah. And then luckily being in Texas, we have barbecue on every corner. And barbecue in Texas is real barbecue. It's not this stuff with sauce. And if you have to put sauce in your barbecue, it's bad. It's a bad barbecue joint. Yeah. Real barbecue is just salt and pepper on meat that's smoked. And that's all it is. And if it's smoked right, you don't need anything else. And you get it with the, I get mine extra moist. It's got marbled fat through it. Oh, it's so good. My son loves it too. So I take him to barbecue and he'll get that. He's like, oh yeah, get me some brisket, Dad. You know how to order it. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I've come to my local shop right here, grocery store. They have beef ribs. They have like club size package. And I get that big thing and I can't wait to cook it. It's like the fattiness of it, it just falls off the bone and it just like melts in your mouth. And I don't put anything on it. Like I just do mine plain with just a little bit of salt.
Yep.
That's all I need. Just a couple ribs.
That's cool. That's what I just put salt on mine. I've smoked mine. I have a smoker and a barbecue and a grill.
That's good. So like I said, part of me thinking back now, like I said, from the start of our conversation, and your mission as far as helping soldiers is with mental health. And looking back now, I really wonder if some of the suicides and mental illnesses that people are dealing with can really be treated by changing the diet to a carnivore diet, and whether it could have saved my dad, whether it could have saved my friend. Because I think he was fit. That's the hardest thing. My friend who committed suicide, he was a bodybuilder. But I think now, and I wonder what he was putting in his body that was he really getting everything he needed to be good up here?
Right. And that's the thing. I think it is a reactive mental illness condition that when they get a permanent solution for a temporary problem. Right. And they just, I didn't understand it for a long time. I understand it now. But for a long time I didn't. I'd have soldiers commit suicide and it was terrible being in a unit where you had that.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that completely, because my dad, when he went to Vietnam, he was, I think, one of three guys in his original company that came back.
Wow. Yeah.
And at that time, he always had weird taste. He's the one who introduced me to things like smoked oyster, like canned smoked oysters, like weird stuff like that. And it's because of who he was in the military. That's what they lived off. It was like anything that was canned, they were eating it.
Yep.
And that's what they had. So I want to say to some degree that I wonder if he was actually mentally better when he was over there and seeing all the terrible things he saw. And then when he came home and started back onto that American diet, if that's really what started the slow downhill fall
spiral. From. Yeah, it's a spiral. And I think that's the fact. You can look at also back then in Vietnam, they had K rations and C rations. And these are canned and potted meat and things with fats in it. It was meats. And yeah. Now they're vegetarian. All these MREs are vegetarian. They're terrible. I did a video because I have soldiers who are active duty trying to do carnivore. Like, how do I do it in the field, chief? We go in the field. We have to have MREs. I'm like, okay, here's how you do it. So I'm telling them about pemmican. I'm telling them about which MREs. I broke down the MREs you could eat as a ketovore, but there's very few of them. Very few. It's almost because these are meeting the standard dietary guidelines of the United States. And that's what they push. Just like hospital food is terrible. It's all sugar. It's all grains. It's all carbs.
I'll forget the week. So when I was hit by a truck when walking across the street and I was in the hospital for a week and because I ruptured my spleen, they wouldn't let me eat anything or drink anything. Cause they're like, we want your spleen to see if it'll clot and heal. Cause they were doing a study. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I was a grazer. I ate little meals all day long through the day. I was like, I can't eat anything. That was so hard. And I remember the first day that they were like, you can eat today. And I was like, they gave me the menu, the hospital menu. And I was like,
you don't want to.
What? And I literally called my friend Matt and I was like, I need a Big Mac. Like, I haven't eaten in forever. It feels like forever. I need some meat, please. And he brought me, I don't think I finished it, but it was like, I was like, I just want some meat. And I remember. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So. And the hospitals are terrible. Their food, especially people being treated for cancer and getting all this sugar, knowing that glucose and glutamine feed sugar.
Right.
And it's terrible. So I don't know. But listen, I got to get off. It's been a great talk. Darlene, it's been fun. We'll do it again sometime. Pleasure. And if you're ever in Texas, look me up. I'll hook you up with some good barbecue.
All right. I got a deal.
All right. I'm going to let you go and then stick around for a second. I'll say hi after I sign off.
All right. I wanted to actually, if I could grab a quick kind of like selfie sort of video.
Okay.
Give me one sec. Just want to like pop back and see you on the camera there. Perfect.
Okay. All right.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Larry.
Yep. Stick around. All right. That was a great interview. Thanks for joining the podcast, The Carnivore Way. This is a podcast where we talk to people who are living the carnivore lifestyle and implementing it in their lives. And this is a great one because it does talk about some things I'm passionate about: soldier suicide, first responder suicide, and of course kids, because I'm a dad, and how the carnivore can benefit them. So thanks for joining me. Stick around, go check out my other videos, and we'll talk to you later. Stay strong and overcome. Carnivore Soldier out.